So I was having a conversation with one of our staff members about documentation, and he had come over from a in-network practice that he was working at, and he was talking about just how long it would take him to document and click through and the workflow and how just how time-consuming it was and how much easier it's been with the software that we use, which is PT Everywhere. And I know for us, we're very, very aware of sort of time leaks within our staff and our own schedules. And it's just one of the worst things you can do is just waste time on things when you could be doing them more efficiently. One thing for us is we have to document. It's something we need to do, and you need to do it as efficiently as you possibly can, because that's where you're going to save a lot of your time. You know, we were seeing our staff members save upwards of an hour a day as far as cleaning up his documentation, making it more efficient. What if you got an hour of your day back just from documentation? What if all of your staff did the same thing? Highly recommend you take a look at PT Everywhere. It's been a huge time saver for us and really has made a big difference in our efficiency of our practice. You can check them out at pteverywhere.com. I think you're going to really like what they have to offer.
So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
What's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and today I want to tell you a little story. So I'll give you the background on this. So I recently joined a new mastermind group that I'm in, and part of it is we have to work on the skill of public speaking to be able to present in front of everybody else at this the next live event that we have. There will be a few hundred people there, so kind of intimidating environment to present on a teaching point, a relevant story, in front of a group of successful just people in general, really anybody. I think public speaking is definitely one of the things that gives people the vast majority of anxiety that you know, that's out there besides maybe a snake. That's number one for me. But public speaking, I get a ton of anxiety with public speaking, ironically, because I do a lot of it and I have done a lot of it. I've just gotten better at handling it. You know, I've exposed myself to it more. It doesn't make me like sick to my stomach anymore like it used to. But you know, it's one of those things that is incredibly powerful and important as a business owner to be able to articulate, you know, what your viewpoints are on things, to be able to help shift the way people feel about things or view things that are maybe employees or people you're looking to, you know, partner with or do work with. So I'm going to share a story with you that I think I'm probably going to tell at this group. And it's about somebody I met whenever I was in the Army, whenever I was stationed out at Schofield Barracks in Hawaii. And there's some leadership kind of nuggets that I learned from this guy. Some of you may have heard me reference this person before. But when I was a physical therapist that I just graduated from Baylor, they assigned me to Schofield Barracks, Hawaii, which is one of the greatest assignments you can get in the military. You know, it's an amazing place to be, amazing group of soldiers. It's the 25th Infantry Division. A lot of cool training opportunities with Asian Pacific region, kind of cross training. So really just an amazing opportunity. When I got out there, I was assigned to a Army brigade, which is about 3,500 to 4,000 people across that, right? So they assign me to a brigade and they say, all right, you're in charge of injury treatment, injury prevention, and human performance optimization. And what they did was they put me in a office that was next to the laundromat in a community building that had a gym above me, which was amazing. So I had this little office and a gym above me, but the building was essentially property of one of the battalions. So a brigade, which is about 3,500 to 4,000 soldiers, is broken down into smaller chunks, which are called battalions. And each of these battalions has roughly about 600 soldiers. So the battalion that that ran this building, the commanders essentially thought that I was part of their battalion because I was located in one of their buildings. So I ended up spending a lot of time with this one battalion in particular because of where the office was located. And when I was there, there was a battalion commander that was there briefly before leaving. And when they change command, they have what's called a change of command ceremony where everybody stands out there. The commander that's leaving hands off, you know, a flag to the commander that's coming in. They give a little speech, and I've been to a lot of these. It's pretty much always the same, right? Well, the new commander, his name was Colonel Fox. Colonel Fox, stands up to give his speech, kind of let everybody know what his initiatives, you know, are and his excitement to be there. And he referenced something called the Take a Shot at the Title Challenge, where any soldier in the battalion could challenge him to any reasonable activity, physical, mental, whatever, and he would accept that challenge. And what he said was, I'll never ask you to do something that I'm not willing to do myself. And I don't think anybody took him seriously on this originally. And until I believe basketball was the first event that somebody actually challenged him to. And they set up a one-on-one basketball game that quite a few of the battalion attended. It was it had to be over 100 people standing around watching these two guys play basketball. Now, Colonel Fox got annihilated he was respectable. He's an athlete, but this guy was a really good basketball player, and he crushed him. And I remember, you know, how... Honestly, he lost, but I remember thinking how impressive this was that he put himself out there like that. And I saw him within a couple of days afterward in my office because, you know, he dinged himself up a little bit playing this basketball game. And I got an opportunity to really talk to Colonel Fox quite a bit because the backstory on him was, he'd been in the infantry for a long time. He had some pre-existing, injuries from blast injuries going on, especially in one of his legs from when he was deployed. And so he had like a really, you know, kind of degenerative knee that there's not much you could do about. I believe he even had shrapnel in it. So he was a hard man. This was a tough individual. And so his knee was swollen. I saw him. He came in to see me, and you know, I started talking to him. I was like, I've never seen anybody initiate something like this, right? Is like, and he told me, he goes, listen, you got to lead from the front, and it's always about people. Like, success is always about people and putting people first. And I thought that was really interesting because in the military in general, it's a very hierarchical population. It's like, you know, he's a lieutenant colonel, I'm a captain. I basically have to do whatever he says to do as long as it's not a crime. And that's just the way it works. So the vast majority of leaders, they take a top-down approach to lead, right? It's like, this is my way. This is the structure. There's no deviation from this. And what I watched with Colonel Fox was very different. It was something that was very personal. It was something where he showed that he wasn't scared to fail. He was interested in other people, no matter what their rank was, how their families were doing. And, you know, I saw him take on a lot of these things. I saw him wrestle one time and he crushed somebody. Apparently he was a really good wrestler, not so good at basketball. The people that work for him, the soldiers that work for him, I saw the difference between the prior commander, who they definitely had respect for this guy, but it wasn't the level, there wasn't a level of respect as well as admiration for a leader, I guess is a good way to put it, to where, you know, they would have done much more for this commander because of the reputation, because of the, relationships that he had built with them. And because frankly, you could tell that he really cared. You could tell that he also did what he said he was going to do and what he expected other people to do. He didn't say, hey, you do this and I'm not going to do that. It was very apparent that he was a part of the battalion, not just in charge of the battalion. And this is a really important lesson that is something that I try to share with everybody we work with. I try to share as well as, you know, implement within my own companies. And I hope that you do too. You know, I think that from what I've seen, caring about people is probably the most important thing you can do. You can't fake it. It's time consuming. You know, it's hard to scale, but if you can do it and you can lead from the front and you can put people first, I think you'll see extraordinary outcomes in terms of the culture you're going to build, the buy-in that you're going to have with your entire staff, and the willingness for them to, you know, work with you on whatever objective that might be, whatever mission that might be, business, military, family, whatever, because of the trust that you're going to gain. So again, to summarize, two things that I learned from Colonel Fox, in particular, watching him do his Take a Shot at the Title challenge and trying to continually put him back together after he did so, was you got to lead from the front. You can't do things, tell people to do things you're unwilling to do yourself. And you have to put people first. It's always, always, always about the people. Hey, real quick before you go, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And I would love it if you got involved in the conversation. So this is a one-way channel. I'd love to hear back from you. I'd love to get you into the group that we have formed on Facebook. Our PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group has about 4,000 clinicians in there that are literally changing the face of our profession. I'd love for you to join the conversation, get connected with other clinicians all over the country. I do live trainings in there with Eve Gigi every single week, and we share resources that we don't share anywhere else outside of that group. So if you're serious about being a PT entrepreneur, a clinical rainmaker, head to that group, get signed up, go to facebook.com/groups/PT entrepreneur, or go to Facebook and just search for PT entrepreneur. And we're going to be the only group that pops up under that name.